Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, I'm Scott Mills and this is the Chris Moore Show with me for 2 weeks. It's 6:43 on Monday. First text of the day says, "Morning Scott, nice to hear you on the radio in the morning. Just got in from an awesome night out, so I'm about to crawl into bed and sleep through most of Monday. God, I love being a student." Hello, Adam. Morning and sleep. Right, Becky?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
It was good. I went to Andorra to play a gig at this place called the Big Snow Festival, which was incredible. But we've talked about this before. We are definitely meant more for the après ski than the actual skiing.
Did you try it?
What, the skiing?
Yeah, no. Please tell me you did.
I just went straight for the après.
You didn't even bother to try?
I didn't really have time because my DJ set was like 5 till 6 and I had to get on stage before it went dark so they can get everyone back down the mountain again. Otherwise, we'd all been stranded there for the night.
I never really thought of you as like, you know, cool snowboarding music before, but I guess...
See, here's the thing. I think they booked me by mistake.
Yeah. Do you know what? I always associated like really cool DJ.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not being funny, but do you know what I mean? Like really kind of...
Someone that doesn't just play Now 75.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think Annie Mack was... I don't know whether Annie Mack was supposed to be on. It was either Annie Mack or Fern Cotton was supposed to be on, but they couldn't do it. And they had Example there. They had Wretch 3-2 over the course of the week. And then I turn up with my CDs. Hiya! But it was brilliant. And it's my kind of first and maybe last experience of what a skiing holiday is like. I felt like Ed Westwick in Chalet Girl. A little bit. Met some lovely bricklayers from Norwich on the après ski. So, yeah, it was all good.
What did you get up to with them?
Just had a chat and stuff. And then got up... What? And then got up the next morning and went home. So it was brief, but it was brilliant. Couldn't get any food after midnight. That was my only problem. Anywhere.
Why did you want to eat after midnight? Had you not had dinner?
No, because I
don't they have kebabs in ski resorts?
Not so much, no.
Oh, rubbish.
I thought there'd be burger vans aplenty, but there's nothing. Nothing. And the night before, this, you asked me about my weekend, I'm telling you. It was Comet Relief night. And all the trekkers went to find out the final total of how much we've raised for the Red Nose Desert Trek. Now, I got there and it was a bit of a rush because I left here at 7 from my show and we were on telly like just before 8. So there was no time to rehearse. And we had to walk downstairs. You know, like on X Factor where the screens come apart and then Dermot walks down the stairs? Well, he normally kind of jogs down confidently, doesn't he? Going woo and then does a little twirl. Woo, your Saturday night starts here. It was exactly the same as that. So the screens had to part and then we had to walk down the stairs. Now, this was stressing me out.
Why?
Well... Because actually...
It's not like you had your heels on, is it?
No, because you think, well, I had my shiny shoes on.
Oh, no.
I had new shoes on, so the floor is shiny, my shoes are shiny. That doesn't go together, does it? Because you know what's going to happen. I'm going to slip. Do you remember what happened when I went to see the Prime Minister that time?
Yeah, did you not spray them up?
No, that doesn't work, does it? We found this out before.
When you got stuck to the carpet.
If you didn't hear this before, I wore some new shoes once, and they were very slippy on the bottoms. And I had to go and meet the then Prime Minister of the country, Gordon Brown. And I was slipping and sliding all over the place, wasn't I?
Well, didn't we put hairspray on the bottom of them?
Yeah,
so in the hope that that would help.
Some bright spark upstairs told me that putting hairspray in the bottom of your shoes would help to make them non-slip. That's not true. I just stuck to Gordon Brown's carpets. Anyway, so I've... Same situation again. No hairspray to spray on. This is all very last minute. So like all the other trekkers, Lorraine and Ronnie Ancona and Ollie Mers are like, what? God, these stairs are quite big. I'm like, I know. And Dermot was at the front going, look, screens come apart. You smile and walk down the stairs. And we're like, well, it's all right for you. You do this every week.
I think next time we should book you a stair lift. I'd love that. If you just came down the side, really slowly.
So eventually, I end up walking really slowly down the stairs with Nadia Swahala, like I'm about 85. Dermot jogs down them, of course, confidently. Does a little twirl. We didn't do a twirl, but you know what I mean? He's got all the confidence he needs. He's done those stairs so many times. And then after we'd been on, we went up to the BT Tower, right to the top, where all of the volunteers were answering the phones for people making donations to Comet Relief. And the deal was we went to answer some phones. So the idea was if someone was ringing up to make a donation, they'd be like, oh, you can speak to Lorraine Kelly. Brilliant.
Does it like press one for Scott, press two for Lorraine, or do you just get randoms?
It wasn't like that. You
can't choose who you get.
No, it wasn't like a press one for Ollie Murr system.
So everyone phoning for Ollie, it's like, hi, Scott here. Did you get loads of hang-ups?
No, what happened was I had a lovely lady, Michelle, she was, and she was there answering the phones all night. They were all doing an amazing job. And Michelle answers and goes, hello, thank you for calling Comet Relief. Before you make your donation, would you like to speak to Scott Mills? And the person on the other end goes, no. That was the end of that.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
So did you speak to anybody who wanted to donate to Comet Relief on Friday or not?
Lorraine spoke to quite a few people.
But no one else wanted to speak to you?
Well, I put Michelle in a very difficult position, to be honest, because she was like, do you want to speak to a celebrity? Who is it? Scott Mills. No, actually, no.
So what did she say then?
Michelle would be like, they're a bit shy. They don't really want to talk to you.
Oh, bless her. At least
so she was doing...
No, I would have just gone, no.
She was trying not to, you know, like, hurt my feelings, but they just clearly didn't want to talk to me. It's fine. Did you watch Professor Brian Cox last night?
I tried.
Not as depressing as previous episodes.
No, do you know what? It started and I thought, oh, it's about falling. I might get this.
About gravity, wasn't
it?
Yeah. You know, that plane where they went up in the sky and then they were all floating, that was amazing.
Well, I switched that off because, you know, I've got the phobia of being sick. The minute he said something, vomit comet, I was like, oh, it's going off.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's brilliant. They went up in this plane, and obviously they're all weightless. I looked up how much that would be, because I thought that would be quite cool. No.
What?
I was
going to
do it for my birthday. $6,000. Quite a lot of money, that.
Yeah, how long do you get for that?
You just get one flight, I think.
No, but how long are you actually like,
ooh? Oh, it's literally minutes, I think.
Oh, is it?
But it looked damn cool on TV when Prof Brian was doing it last night. And I just thought, I quite fancy that.
So where do you end up? Like Benidorm?
I don't really know.
Do you just
go around
home?
In circles? I don't know.
Do you what? Go up and then straight back down again?
Yeah, because the whole experience of the flight is that you're going, wee, look at me. But it's literally for a few minutes and then you just go boom, and fall back to the floor. $6,000? I'm all right, thanks. Also, do you find yourself zoning out a little bit during that show? It's really, his voice is really soothing, but after a while... Like, you'd be watching it for 5 minutes and then think, oh, I'm back. And I don't actually remember anything he said.
I try really hard to understand. And I think I just sort of...
So it's not just me being a fit DJ?
No.
Okay, good.
I think the max you can probably do is like half an hour fully understanding and then something happens where you're a bit like,
right.
But I love how excited he gets.
I know, he's so excitable.
When he had that book, when he was a kid, and you could see how much he'd read it because like all the pages were like torn and stuff, and he was like, I've seen this picture and there it is on the wall.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, bless him.
Also, my flatmate needs to get out of this habit of watching Antiques Roadshow every Sunday because I'm not happy about it.
Why?
Well, it's just boring. Last night, there was some woman trying to find out how much a horse on some wheels was worth. She was like, I was going to take it to the dump, but then I thought I'd come here instead. Well, I should have dumped it.
It's not boring at all.
It is boring.
No, it's not. You need to watch it in a different way.
Why?
Because when the expectation on their faces when they get the valuation...
But sometimes they don't even tell them the valuation now.
Don't
and also,
they? That's the whole point of it.
Well,
to
exactly.
See them go, oh.
But then there was a couple of things where I was like, well, go on then. Disappoint them by telling them how much it's not worth. Didn't do it.
Oh.
Did you see that last night's one with the wife tamer?
No.
Fiona Bruce got in it at the end. Basically, it's this thing from back in the day where if your wife was cross, you'd just put her in this pretty much like a cot until she snapped out of it.
Is it like a brown wooden one?
Yes.
I've seen them before.
Yeah, someone took that along. But surely
I haven't got one, no.
Surely that... Would that not make you more angry?
Let me out!
All right, love. Right, you're in a mood. Get in that box. That's not good.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
And Naomi in Wolves says that her grandma used to have a wife tamer. Well, that's nice. How much are they worth? I didn't catch it last night. Apparently, every item on Antiques Roadshow was valued last night. I just wasn't paying attention. Thanks, Simone in Camden. I'm sure they weren't, but there we are. I'll let you have that one. Morning, Tom in Brighton, who's been up all night doing some work. Hello. And Amy's been on saying, morning, lover boy. Thanks for the smooch at the big snow festival on Saturday night. Who's Amy? Does that make me a bad person? I don't remember smooching anyone called Amy.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
If you're just waking up and coming to, here's stuff that's happening today, which you will want to know about, which you may not have heard on Newsbeat. Willow Smith eats 12 egg omelettes every day. Whoa!
12 eggs?
Yeah, in
that's
one
like
omelette.
A big one from the same, from the supermarket. Like huge, like the biggest eggs you can get.
Yeah, all in one
all
omelette.
All in one thing.
Yeah. She's tiny. In other egg-related news, Lady Gaga is getting an egg bed. Now, that's horrible. Remember, the first thing you smell in the morning when you wake up, egg, gross.
Well, I guess if they were poached, it might be quite bouncy. Or is she having them, like, hard... I'm trying to work out how you'd actually have an egg bed. What is it? Is it, like, a bed that's shaped like an egg? Like a little... So you can kind of, like, those chairs you get?
Yeah. Or is it just loads of hard-boiled eggs all on a bed?
Oh. Scrambled?
Yeah. The one that doesn't speak doesn't like us talking about eggs today because he already is traumatised by egg this morning.
What? 7:15?
Well, he got a cab into work today and the lady driver was trying to negotiate speed bumps whilst eating one of those McDonald's big breakfasts. You know, this isn't... I'm not talking McMuffin. I'm talking about, you know, the ones in the yellow tray?
Oh, what, in the tray? With
yeah,
the
yeah.
Pancakes?
Didn't have a knife and fork. She was just kind of wolfing it down.
How is she doing what, like sliding it in?
So the scrambled egg flying everywhere. He's got some of his glasses. That's not right, is it? That's like 5:30 this morning.
Oh, you don't
think... hang on, another speed bump. More egg.
You'd never think of putting that on the booking form, though, would you? Please, no eggy driver over speed bump.
So he doesn't... Let's move on from egg. And other news, Kerry Katona's new boyfriend was on Take Me Out on Saturday. Now, he's going to have some explaining to do, isn't he? Shall we watch Take Me Out? No. Why not? No. I wonder which one he was. I'm hoping he was the bloke who played table tennis.
I didn't see it. Was he good?
Yeah. Question, what would you do if you were watching Take Me Out and suddenly your boyfriend appeared? He comes down that thing. All right, girls. Leave your lights on for me. What would you do?
I don't know.
What would you do?
It's not a situation I've ever really thought about before.
Hello, girls. Presumably, he went on the show before he started going out with Kerry Katona. You would hope. What would your boyfriend do to demonstrate his skills? You know that bit where they go, well, here's what I can do, and there's an opportunity for you to put your lights out. What would he do? Because some of them do, like, fire-eating stuff.
It's there's really bad that I can't think of one talent my boyfriend's got, isn't it?
Not one. What would he do in that bit if he was trying to impress the ladies?
I've got no idea. No. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio
1 Podcasts. Podcast. And now it's time for Dear Scott, where a posh lady from Radio 4 reads out the stuff that you've been saying to us in the last 7 days. My friend
that
Becky...
That was rubbish. What? That's not going to cut it with the Moyles listeners.
Why?
Compared to his impressions, that was just... That was bad. I think you should apologise for that.
7 days.
Better.
Becky is here.
Hello.
And my friend Chris is here.
Hello.
He is often with us in the afternoons because at the moment he's between jobs. How's that going?
I'm not even between jobs. I'm nowhere near a job.
Between jobs does suggest that you may have had one at one point.
Nothing proper,
no.
I'd say.
Never a proper job.
No.
Like myself, really. OK, let's get into what you've been saying this week to us.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L. Last summer, I went on a cousin's hen weekend to Magaluf.
I love Magaluf.
Why do you love it so?
Weekends?
Well, that's one of the perks to going to Magaluf, I guess. Yeah, there's loads of hen weekends.
I've certainly had some fun there in the past.
What do you mean?
We did our show out there for a couple of years.
Is that where you had your sex cannon? Is that what it was called?
What's a sex cannon?
I can't remember. Why do I associate you and Magaluf with a sex cannon and Joe Wiley?
No, there was a cannon.
Yeah.
Which would fire out condoms at the audience.
Ah, yes, I knew there was a health message there somewhere.
That's right.
Why was Joe Wiley involved?
She just came along. I don't even know why she was there. She did not fit in.
Didn't she say that was one of the worst moments of her career?
She said that weekend was one of the worst of her life and, yeah, it was a career low point.
As if going on a hen weekend there with my mother wasn't bad enough.
What? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Oh, I love hen weekends with mums.
It's like people that go clubbing with their mums.
Oh, I love that.
You go clubbing with your mum?
Well, no, I personally don't, but I love it when I wouldn't, and I don't think my mum would want to come out with me because I'm not cool enough. But when you see mums and daughters together in clubs, I love it. It always makes me smile. You have to say, it does make you smile, doesn't it, Scott?
Yeah.
Or even better, sons and dads.
That doesn't happen.
I love the
dad. I've never seen that.
Yes. There's always a dad or an older one, like an uncle. It's brilliant.
See, the perfect combo there would be Larry and George Lamb.
Oh, yes.
You see?
Yes.
That would be good.
Yes. And you see, still, Larry is still my favourite.
Loads of dad dancing.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit weird.
Really weird.
As if going on a hen weekend there with my mother wasn't bad enough, turns out we've made it onto the TV. That's right. We now have a starring spot in an episode of Sun, Sea and A&E.
Oh.
I'm mortified, to say the least.
Well, I'd be mortified.
I wouldn't. I think that's a sign of a great hen weekend.
Doesn't say what happened, does it? I'm slightly worried.
No, and we don't have any more details. So why were your mum and you on Sun, Sea and A&E? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever appeared on a TV programme and thought, oh?
Do you know what I found myself on the other day? I wasn't expecting this and you never warned me. Found myself on the world's most dangerous place to be gay. What was that about?
Well, this is the show that I did when I went to Uganda. And there was a bit on before I got to Uganda where it was like, here's Scott and his normal life, where me and some friends were relaxing over a drink in London's Soho.
It was all very odd, though, because you said, do you want to go out for a drink? Went up and met with you in Soho and there was cameras all around. I was like,
did I not mention
it? If I'm honest, I don't fancy this at all. And you just said, sit down.
Make it look like I'm really cool.
Yeah, and seemingly, it wasn't just me you invited out for a drink that night, even though that's what you said.
It was your whole harem.
There was loads of people.
Scott, I know that you and Becky have had your fair share of embarrassing situations. Any advice on how to ever live this down? You complete me. Anonymous, off of World of Embarrassment.
Well, I want to know what happened when you and your mum were on Sun, Sea and A&E. Email back.
I don't think it's such a bad thing. I really don't. Sounds like a good weekend.
It's true. I mean, if you don't end up in A&E in Magaluf, then it's generally a bad weekend, isn't
it? Exactly.
There we are.
Exactly.
Next.
Hi, Scott. My granddad was known to eat chips in the bath and use his belly button hole as a salt cellar. Anyone else tried it? Love you all. Rowley, off of Bury St Edmunds.
Ooh.
Why not?
We were talking about eating food in the bath recently on our afternoon show.
Putting anything in your belly button is just... I'm just thinking about it, like the gravity. When you're lying in the bath, your belly button is almost always below the water.
Goes under.
Unless you're, like, poking it, like, right up.
What are you doing?
Well, no, I'm just trying to... I'm
sort of thrusting at me.
No, I was trying to show you the logistics of putting salt in your belly button and then using it as a...
I don't really see what the problem is. No, I know it sounds rank, but all it was a bit of salt.
Why not just put them on the chips before you got in?
Good point, well made. Next.
Dear Scott, just a thought. How about turning Man Up Mills into a song? Thought you might have done that by now. Dan, off of Aberdeenshire.
True, Dan, we don't normally let something like that pass us by without doing a song about it, but we haven't done it yet. Until now. Now, this is work in progress, so bear with. But we'll work on it a bit more for you later in the week.
Man Up Mills! Man Up Mills!
You see where this is going.
Man Up Mills.
Like I said, work in progress.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Scott.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. So, do you go out clubbing with your dad?
I don't make a regular thing of it.
Right.
But I have, yeah, for my 21st.
So, how old are you now?
24.
Okay, so a few years ago. And how was it?
It was all right. You're out with your dad, aren't you? So it's a bit...
awkward?
No, he loved it. Yeah, well, he loved it.
I bet he did.
Would you say it was better for him than it was for you?
I'd say it was equal.
Oh, really? Okay. You haven't done it again since?
No, not really.
Did he embarrass himself?
He didn't. Well, he did, and we caught it on camera, but.
Okay, do I want to know what that is?
I don't know how much I can get away with.
No, I think I'd quite like to leave it. Okay.
I think, yeah, we probably should leave it.
Yeah, let's just leave it there and let's forget this phone call ever happened.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
love okay, you, bye. Love you, bye. I didn't want to know. Have you got egg bed news?
We're have.
Lady Gaga's getting an egg bed.
And you thought it might have been her lying on some scrambled ones.
Yeah.
Or a water bed filled with yolks.
Yeah.
But apparently not. It's, you know that one she arrived in at the Grammys?
Oh, yeah.
She loves it so much, she's getting it for her NY condo.
Oh,
AKA
her NY condo.
Her flat.
Oh, yeah. Radio 1
podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
That bloke we just spoke to, Chris, who goes out clubbing with his dad, or he did for his 21st. Imagine if his dad was listening then. Yeah, he did embarrass himself, actually. We got it on video camera, as it happens. Oh, no! That's not what you want when you first wake up, is it, if you're a dad? Hello to all the other people that have been texting and saying they do go clubbing with their dads and sometimes their mum.
Do you go out with your dad? I've seen you out with your dad.
Yeah, in a pub.
Not in a club.
No, really not.
He was in his stonewash.
He loves a stonewash.
Do you know, the only reason you don't go out with him more often is because he's hot.
Well,
he's
see,
quite the Bruce Willis, isn't he?
He is. /Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, some people in this building think my dad is quite the fitty and look forward to him coming in when he does.
What's your
dad's vision of stonewash?
What's your dad's talent? What would he do if he was on Take Me Out?
I don't really want to think about that. And why would he be on it anyway? Gross. I hate this conversation. Podcast. BBC Radio 1 on the Chris Moore Show with Scott Mills. Chris and Dave, after their amazing thing for Comet Relief last week, 52 hours, £2.4 million, are having a big rest. So it's me. Hello. Fern's on at 10 o'clock. 7:45. That was Jessie J and Price Tag. Really need to apologise to my mum for what I put her through at the weekend.
I thought you were away.
Well, I was. That's the problem. So my mum, you know, she's proud of me doing that desert trek. So she asked if she could come along to the Comet Relief night on Friday. But she wasn't allowed to sit in the audience. I don't think it was what she thought it would be.
It didn't look like... did they get a bigger audience in later? Because, you know, like in past years where they've had, like, loads of people sat in rows, all I could see was people kind of stood around top of the pop style.
Yeah, they were all kind of stood up. And I was like, Mum, you wouldn't want to go in there anyway because you've got to stand up for ages and she's not good at that. So I just thought, you're better off here in the green room. So literally, she was sat on a sofa all night.
Watching it on a telly, which
watching
she could have done
it on the TV, which yeah, she could have done that at home, to be honest. But
did she get a free sandwich out of it?
Yeah, she got a sandwich, and
well,
you know,
right.
She was happy to be there. So sorry, Mum, if it wasn't what you're expecting. She did just have to watch it on TV like everyone else. Anyway, so my mum stays at my house on Friday night and is going to go back the next day. But I had to leave at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning because I had to get a flight to Barcelona to do this gig that I did at the weekend. So I get up in a rush on Saturday morning, and you know what I'm like in the morning, I'm just really forgetful. I forget that my mum is in the spare room, because that's, you do, don't you? I just do what I normally do, I set the alarm and double lock the door.
Oh.
Yeah. So I go to the airport, my mum gets up about 8:30, and because, you know, obviously alarm sensors, as soon as she moves...
Oh, what, you put the alarm on as well?
Yeah, the alarm's on as well.
Oh, I just thought you double locked her in.
So it's all fine when she's just lying there still in bed.
Oh, bless her.
But as soon as she does any movement, she probably just turned over. Off the alarm goes. She's trying to ring me. I'm obviously at the airport, so I'm not answering my phone. My mum rings everybody that she can think of, including the one that doesn't speak. The one that doesn't speak is like, oh, God, he's had a terrible accident on the slopes because I'm at a ski resort. She's like, oh, God, the alarm's going off. One that doesn't speak, I don't know what to do. Now, my alarm, if this wasn't stressful enough, my alarm is connected to the police. So 10 minutes later, Mum gets a knock on the door. Police, open up!
Oh.
My mum can't open up because I've double-locked the door. So we have a situation now where the alarm is blaring out and my mum and the policeman are on their knees talking to each other through the letterbox. Because they can't get in the house because I've double-locked the door. And she obviously can't get out because I've double-locked the door. She then has to persuade the police officer that she is not a burglar. I'm so sorry, Mum. So this is all happening through the letterbox. So like, hello, madam. Can I ask what you're doing in this house? Oh, Miss Mum, I'm locked in. Or, are you trying to rob this property, madam? No, I'm his mum. I'm locked in. And eventually, after about 10 minutes of her persuading them that she was my mum, they said, oh, thanks, it's obviously a mistake, and they went. So if you are a burglar, just tell them you're their mum, and they let her off. Scot-free. Bless my mum, so I'm so sorry.
Was she all right about it?
Yeah, she's fine now. It's just she expects it from me, do you know what I mean? Mm. She's like, nothing surprises my mum anymore. So I'm sorry that you had to get down on your hands and knees and talk to the policeman through the letterbox and tell them that you weren't a burglar. I just forgot, you know? Forgot she was in the spare room.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. Everyone's like, oh, you can't finish the story there. What happened to your mum? Is she still there now? No, she's not. Luckily, we managed to get hold of my flatmate eventually, and she managed to turn the alarm off. With his help, he came back and let her out the house and had some nice tea with her to calm her down a bit after the trauma that I put her through. Sorry, Mum. A lot of people on saying, why does your mum sound like Alan Carr? It's just the voice I do for my mum. It also doubles up as Alan Carr as well.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Podcast.
Now, did you see The Only Way is Essex last night? Series 2, it's on. A bit late for me. I went to bed just before it started and my flatmate was like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? You can't go to sleep now. Yes, I can. I'm tired. No, it's The Only Way is Essex, new series. I'm like, seriously, I'll record it. I did end up watching a bit of it. There was, like, much indignation when I threatened to go to bed before The Only Way is Essex. Did you love it last night?
I did. I went to bed at 10 o'clock and I just put the telly on trying to find something to kind of help me drift off. And that came on and within, like, 2 minutes I was sat up wide awake again. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We're on series two now. I think the acting has got a little bit better. But they do... they do admit that some of it isn't entirely real, don't they?
Yeah, it's
what's the statement that they say?
Well, they're real-life people, but some of the situations that they end up in have been staged for your entertainment purpose.
Okay, so...
So, like, when the two of them are sat in the bar, like, you know, and he's just got back together with her or whatever, and then the random girl walks in and they, like, have a little argument, that's probably... She's been told to go there at that time, I would imagine.
Right.
It's that sort of thing.
But then they just go for it and it's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can really tell that.
I don't think there's, like, an actual script. I think it's more like, this is what we want you to sort of...
They improvise.
Yeah.
Because they can.
They're
I have to say, they're brilliant at it.
Because improvisation is really hard.
It is, but they make it look so easy. Mm. So... Here's the thing. Do you think that this is one of the occasions where it was set up, or do you think it's all natural, this bit, OK? This is Kirk arriving to test drive a new car.
Hi there, you all right?
How you doing? You all right?
I'm Gemma.
How are you doing? I'm Kirk.
Pleased to meet you.
Should have a little look about.
Yeah?
I've had a look at this. It looks all right for the Beamers, but...
Looks all right. It looks amazing.
It looks good.
You've got the sparkling graphite paintwork on the car.
Yep.
You've got the 19-inch alloy wheels. You've got the red leather.
Right,
You've got the Bluetooth. You've got sat navigation. Obviously, I would like to take you for a test drive today, not being too pushy. I'm guaranteeing you the ultimate driving experience.
Brilliant.
Not only that, you've got the ultimate experience with me today in the car with
thank you.
Oh, yes, Gemma.
She is my new absolute favourite.
I love her already.
She's amazing.
You've got your Bluetooth. You've got your red leather.
The sat navigation.
I'm not being so pushy. Now... Have a listen to the actual test drive, OK? Now...
Is this the ultimate driving experience because she's in the car as well?
Yeah, yeah.
They should get her on Top Gear.
Imagine being the director of this, right? So, like, here's the test drive. They've obviously said to Gemma, right, just, you know, do what a car salesman would normally do, you know? Just ask him how the car feels, etc. Just be natural, just be relaxed.
So how does it feel for you at the moment?
Feels good.
Just... Gemma, just say the kind of things that, you know, that car salesmen say. Just be really natural and go.
He really wants to let loose, a bit like you after a few vodkas on a Friday night in the Sugar Hut.
You've been talking to someone about me.
I've got you sussed out straight away.
Oh, she's good. She's good. Yeah, just more of that, Gemma. Just really natural. And off you go, take 94.
You want the wow factor. You want people going, look at Kirk driving down the high street in Brentwood.
This is brilliant acting. So good.
She is the female version of Terry Tibbs.
Roof down, girls want me.
dad now wants to borrow my car because he loves it so much. Yeah, baby. Are you feeling it?
I am feeling it now. That talks,
it just totally makes sense.
Me over a little bit. Yeah, it has, to be honest. It's a comfy car. It's what I'm looking for.
I'm not making you nervous, am I?
A little bit. A little bit.
Don't be so silly.
See, I don't think this is a setup. I think this is one of the real situations. Like, she's so natural. Okay, Gemma, so you've done the test drive and now close the deal.
So, how are you leaving your deposit then?
Whoa, that was quick.
So, how are you leaving your deposit then?
Well, now, at this point, the director must have said, right, guys, okay, that was really good. Now, if you could move on from buying the car to your ideal man, I know you're going to have to kind of shoehorn this in, but we've had this idea, Gemma, that you could start going out with Kirk's dad. So if you could somehow get that into the conversation, and let's go for it. So just move on from the car to ideal man, OK? Be really natural. And here we go. Take 493.
I do like this car, but I'm going to have a look around. But how did you get into the old selling the car? It's not really girly, is it?
Well, I do love it. I'm very passionate about my job, as you can see.
OK, this is taking too long. Just get into going out with his dad.
Because of my career, like, my life is my job.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is with me, Cook, I'm looking for my Mr. Right. I can't find him anywhere.
Good, Gemma.
Who is your Mr. Wright? Describe him.
Want someone powerful. Like, Tony Soprano's attitude.
Right.
But, like, Mr. Big from Sex and the City, the whole Carrie and Big Love affair, I just want it.
Sounds like my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do older man.
She did it in the end. Yay! We've got the dad storyline in.
I'll introduce her to my dad. He's a right gentleman, he is.
And he knows how to order the wines and all of that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
He knows all of that.
Is that what you look for in a man? He knows how to order the wines and all that. Oh, yes. Second one down, please.
You never see that in, like, the dating adverts, though, do you? Knows how to order
wines and all that.
I'll introduce her to my dad. He's a right gentleman, he is.
And he knows how to order the wines and all of that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
He knows all of that.
He knows all of that.
Second one from the
top,
please.
Second one from top.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You know what? With Gemma, on the only way is Essex. The man she's looking for about ordering, you know, the wines and all that.
He knows how to order the wines and all of that.
If you go out with somebody who's really confident when ordering wine, do you need any advice on the wine, sir? No, actually, I'm fine. I'll take care of this. They're blagging it. No one actually knows. They are blagging it. They're making it up.
He knows how to order the wines and all of that.
No one knows how to order the wines and all that. They just pick one and hope for the best. They do not know. Telling you.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Now, here's something we haven't done for a while. I thought we'd bring back show and tell. You know, like off of school. Remember show and tell?
I remember show and tell, yeah.
Where someone brings something in and, well, it's normally a shell at school, isn't it? It's always a shell.
My mate bought in a rabbit. I remember that.
And then,
really? Yeah, class went wild.
That is a good show and tell.
That was an amazing show.
A live rabbit.
That was the kind of show and tell where your mum had to bring in the rabbit.
Yeah.
So the mum was involved as well.
Uh-huh. Like a big budget, full scale show and tell.
I remember once not adequately preparing for show and tell and trying to blag and show and tell with my inhaler.
Well, your asthma inhaler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my thing that I'm going to talk about today. I brought it in specially.
I had to write up inhaler on the board behind me. And didn't work. I got in trouble.
So someone brings something in and then has to talk about it. So what we'll do is we'll take it in turns, bring something in and share it with the class. Show and tell. Simple. Remember before, when we did it, it was a couple of years ago, I brought in my metal detector. Do you remember?
Mm. And Chappers had his Tombly booze.
Mm.
I think he claimed they belonged to his children, but I'm still to this day not quite sure.
What are they?
They're off in the night garden.
And what's that?
Oh, you'd love that.
You don't know what In the Night Garden is?
Sorry, no.
Oh, God. Oh. Another thing to YouTube.
Is this a TV show again?
Yeah, YouTube it.
Right. And the Tombly Boos?
They're in it.
So you're not going to tell me any more than that?
They live with Macapaca.
Right.
you're
using words I don't understand.
Eagle Piggle?
Yeah, that's right. That's why you need to watch it. Then
Eagle
you'll understand
Piggle.
The language.
You must have seen him.
Eagle Piggle?
Yeah.
No.
You're not aware of Macapaca or Eagle Piggle?
No,
Where
and no.
Where have you been? How can you not have a job and not have seen In the Night Garden? Seriously.
I'm just trying to think what it would clash with. Do you know what? I think it clashes with your repeats of Jeremy Kyle on ITV2.
Does it?
At 3 in the morning?
Oh, no, don't they re-show it on ITV2 again about, like...
Oh, about 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be why. Anyway, Today it's Becky's turn on Show and Tell. You obviously haven't bought anything very large because I can't. You don't seem to have anything with you.
No, did you want me to wheel it in?
Wheel it in.
No, oh, sorry. It's amazing though. Although I haven't got a big thing in a big box with a big wrapper for you to open, this is brilliant and I think you're going to love it.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, my friend sent me this link on YouTube and it's of this couple called Frisky and Manish. And they are amazing. And basically, they do famous songs as you've never heard them before.
Okay.
Yeah? Do you want to have a listen?
And do they live shows or what?
Yeah. They do live shows. They've done Edinburgh and stuff before. But they just really made me laugh, so I thought I'd bring this in for you.
Okay.
Now, have a guess. Have a listen to this one and see if you can guess what they're doing.
It's Kate Nash.
Yeah, obviously.
No, it's not. Out on the whiny
What's this? Listen. You have a temper like my jealousy, too hard, too greedy. How could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too. Bad dreams in the night told me I was going to lose the fight. Leave behind my wavering heart, teeth clear. It's me, oh Kathy, I've come home.
It's like Kate Bush. Let me
in at your window. In the style of Kate Nash.
It's Kate Bash. It's me,
oh Kathy, I've come home. That's quite cool, actually.
I like this. Let me in at your window. My fingertips are holding. Yes, I like it a lot.
Very good.
Very clever.
Next one. You'll love this.
Do we guess what it is again? Okay.
Christina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Christina Aguilera. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Definitely.
You need to think outside the box.
What's going to happen now?
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Amazing. Like you, baby.
I'll make you mine. You know I'll take you to the top. Pretty baby. It's really good. Saturday night cares. I like the way you move. Be my baby. This is actually really good.
It's such a good song.
It's like that Adele one at the Brits.
Yeah.
Same.
Wouldn't that be great next year if they did this at the Brits? Exactly the same as Adele.
Yeah. Frisky and Manish on number one with Wigfield Saturday night. I like that a lot.
That's incredible, Becky.
So what else you got?
You will love this one. This is my last one. This is Florence and the Machine, and you would not believe what Florence and the Machine are covering.
Okay. So this is them as Florence and the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Hi guys, this is Florence from Florence and the Machine. There isn't really a machine, that's just a concept. So I'm going to start with my cover version, and it's by someone like totally different from me. You know, kind of like sort of more commercial. Yeah, okay, so guys, when you're ready. I stop and stare at you, walking on the shore. I try to concentrate, my mind wants to explore.
What's this song? I know the words.
So do I.
Come on.
Takes me up and above. No, and I look at you.
Oh, I've just realised. This is Peter Andre, isn't it?
Is it? I knew the words.
So weird.
I knew the words.
Oh, mysterious girl, move your body close to mine.
They've actually made it sound like Florence.
Yes.
Though.
Oh,
mysterious girl, I wanna get close to you.
Florence released this would be a hit. applaud Becky for her show and tell today. That is a really good one to start us off. Well done.
Thank you.
I wasn't aware of Frisky and Manish before, but I'm liking them a lot. Radio 1 podcast. So that was Becky's really good show and tell. She made us all aware, if we weren't already, of Frisky and Manish. Doing Peter Andre in the style of Florence Welch. Oh, brilliant. Mysterious girl, move your body close to mine. So tomorrow I think it should be my mate Chris who does show and tell. So it's your go tomorrow, right, Chris? That's a yes, good. So bring something in, tell us about it tomorrow morning. Nice one, Becky. A lot of people loving that on the text. Radio 1
podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now, if you listen to us in the afternoon, you'll know that whenever we need the opinion of the public on something, we go out onto Stupid Street and we get some brilliant answers. And we normally send a bloke called Smooth Talking Dan. Because if any person can charm the public, it's him. Now, Dan's actually here this morning. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Scott.
You're right.
I'm good.
Good. Now, I have been trying to find a theme tune for you, and I hope you like what I've found so far. Well, there's this one, which is kind of all right. Smooth Talking Dan.
Okay, yeah.
Smooth Talking Dan.
It doesn't quite fit. I don't know.
It's not that smooth, is it, maybe? No.
This one is, though. This is by someone called Victoria Hart. Never heard of her, but she's done this. Smooth
Talker. Yes!
Yes?
Yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah. Smooth
Talker. Listen, you can hear someone smooth talking in the background as well, listen. In Spanish. Mr. Smooth. I like this one.
It's overly long for theme tune as well, which I quite like.
Always
if we had
good.
To play this every time we spoke to him, I think it'd be brilliant.
So what we do with Smooth Talking Dan is a lot of the time we send him out to ask questions, and when we send him, he ends up inadvertently chatting people up. That's why we called him Smooth Talking Dan, because he just smooth talks them. Now, a lot of people wonder, Dan, why you have such bad luck with the ladies when you're such a smooth talker.
It's surprising, isn't it? Really?
It is, really. Mm. Describe Dan, Becky.
Well, he's tall. He's got sort of brown, light brown hair.
Mm.
Good looking.
Bit of a catch.
Early 20s, yeah.
Catch.
A catch, yeah. Yeah.
Smooth talker. Mm-hmm. So,
good looking, she said.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
And a that was there.
And a GSOH.
Now, do you know about all the wines and that?
Oh, I can choose wines,
yeah,
easy.
He's got
can
all
you?
As well, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Do you actually know, though, or are you blagging it?
Blagging it.
It's good that you know about the wines and all that, though.
He knows how to order the wines and all of that.
That's what ladies in Essex like. So, this time, we gave Dan on Sheeper Street a chance to go there just to smooth talk, under the disguise of doing an important survey for this show. So you pretended to do a survey, but subtly tried to get a date with these girls. So if you want to win some Scott Mills points, I ask you out there listening to Radio 1, my question to you, Smooth Talking Dan asks 7 people to go out with him. How many of them would agree to date Smooth Talking Dan? Mr. Smooth Talker. Mr. Smooth Talker. What do you think, Becky?
Well, having heard him on Stupid Street previously,
he's got away with the ladies.
Well, accounting for a couple having boyfriends already, so they're obviously going to have to say no. I'm going to go 5.
5 out of 7?
Yeah, because any singles are going to say yes, aren't they?
Okay, let's go for 5.
This music and Dan sat next to me, I'm getting kind of butterflies in my tummy.
Of course you are.
Of course
see?
You are.
Smooth. Live smooth there.
Smooth. Okay, so let's find out. Let us know what you think. This is for 10 Scott Mills points. So here's the first person.
What's your name?
Claire.
Okay, Claire. What is your favourite sandwich filling?
Smoked salmon.
Okay, nice. You like eating out sometimes?
If I can afford to, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, how about, don't have to worry about the price.
Okay.
Because I could take you out somewhere.
Can you really? That's very kind of you.
Yeah, tonight or tomorrow night.
I'm married, so that might not work.
Okay. So, right, why were you kind of, you were leading me on a little bit. You could have just said straight away I was married.
I thought it was hypothetical.
Okay, so, right, okay. It's been a confusion. It's okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, have a nice day then.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Awkward.com. I don't think she was leading you
she
on.
She was.
This. Do you think?
The eyes.
Really? Yeah. Oh, really? But yeah.
And the little laugh as well. She wanted you.
We weren't there, you see, to see the eyes, so yeah. I'll just have to take your word for it. Right, there's one out. Next.
What's your name?
Nadia.
Nadia. What's your favourite colour?
Blue.
Do you like the theatre?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to go to the theatre with me?
Why not?
We could watch anything, maybe Cats by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Or something like that. Anything. You can choose. Okay, so maybe we can swap numbers.
I haven't.
Haven't got a pen. I can get a pen.
No, I haven't a number.
You've not got a phone?
No.
Right. Sounds like you're making that up.
Ah, the old no phone excuse. No,
she
I don't.
She said yes to the theatre and then she just sort of went a bit. Maybe it was Cats that put her off.
Well, actually, Dan, also, I think Cats may have closed. So you were offering to take her to a show that closed a few months ago, I think.
I know, it's a bad choice, isn't it? Starlight next time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, no phone, no number. Oh, well, there goes another one. Next.
What's your name?
Amy.
What was your favourite day of the week?
Probably a Sunday.
Okay. You got anything planned for this Sunday?
No.
Maybe we could chill together. Just kick back with the Sunday papers. You up for that, me and you?
No.
No?
I'm married, so it's not a good idea.
Married again.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I am, look.
Oh, you've proved it. All right, yeah. No, not to worry. Okay, thanks very much.
Have a good day.
You too. She was interested.
Yeah. Interested, but married. Often the way. So, a no again. Next.
What's your name?
Nina.
Nina?
Yeah.
Where'd you come from?
Germany.
Having a nice time in England?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Have you ever had a holiday romance before?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, but not here.
Not here. So maybe you're thinking, are you on the look for a guy at all in London? Quite a tall guy. Would you be interested?
No.
Okay, good. Well, that's a good thing. I quite like the way German people are just straight to the point. They're not going to mess you around, are they?
Mm.
Like the others may have been leading you on a little bit, but this is a good definite no. No.
What's your name?
Gitta.
Are you busy today, the rest of the day, or...?
No, we're just shopping.
Just shopping. Maybe I could buy you a nice gift, like a pearl necklace.
A pearl necklace is always nice,
that's
yes.
That's nice, isn't it? Would you like to go on a date with me this afternoon, or...?
I think it's just a little... tricky if you're just here for one night and then you'll have to leave again.
It could be the best night of your life, is what I'm saying.
Maybe.
You could leave London with a bang, so to speak.
It's not really what I normally do, you know?
Okay, all right, not to worry. Thanks anyway, okay? Cheers. Thank you. They were blooming interested.
Wow. So in 30 seconds, you offered her a pearl necklace and a chance to leave London with a bang.
Smooth.
Smooth talking down sounds a bit like Craig David talking. Well, it's as smooth as that.
Similar, yeah.
One more.
What's your name?
Hannah.
What's your favourite, like, item of clothing? Like scarf or trousers?
I love bags.
Okay, bags. Why are you in London at the moment? What are you up to?
I've just picked up my cousin from the airport and we're spending the day shopping and then going back home.
Nice. Okay, so you're a bit busy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be coming back to London again sometime? Maybe. I was just thinking maybe we could... have a drink or just...
I'm okay.
Just watch a DVD, something chilled out like that.
No, I'm cool. I stick with my bags.
What about your cousin? Just, I know it's a bit awkward, but you give me the brush off. What's your name?
Yosin, but I'm not from England.
I'm not prejudiced, so don't worry about that.
Oh.
Would you be interested in an English guy or...
No, I'm sorry.
No, 100% no.
Oh, okay, well that went well.
Love the segue from her straight to her cousin.
Yeah, I know it's a bit embarrassing, but what about your cousin?
Smooth talker.
Oh.
Smooth talker.
Where's he going wrong, Becky, do you think?
I don't know. I'd snap him up. That probably says more about me than him, though.
Wouldn't we all? Oh, well, Dan, we'll do something similar. Eventually it'll work out. Someone or some desperado will say yes.
Podcast.
podcast.
Let's do some more Dear Scott. This is the Posh Radio 4 lady reading out what you've been saying to us on email in the last week. Ready, Becky?
Oh, yes.
Ready, my friend Chris?
Yes.
Let's go.
Dear Scott, Becky, T-O-T-D-S, P-R-4-L, Chris, and maybe Chris Moyles and Comedy Dave.
No, they're still asleep. For 2 weeks.
Last week, you were talking about programmes not to watch with your parents, like The Tudors.
If you've never seen it before, basically The Tudors is absolute filth. It passes itself off as a historical programme, but it's just people having it off
it's
all the time.
It's amazing.
I had no interest in watching it until you told me about it.
I hadn't been with my boyfriend for long, and he had to go away for a week for work, so I decided to go and visit his parents for a week. They wanted to get to know me better, and it was a nice break away with lots of fantastic mum-cooked dinners.
I'm not sure if you had only been with your boyfriend a while, going to stay with his parents for a whole week is, like, a good idea.
No,
is it?
I wouldn't
Would
ever
you do that.
That? No.
Who's staying with who? Is it the boy staying with the girl, or...?
The girl is staying with the boy's parents.
Oh, that's probably all right, then. It's worse the other way round. Because then you get the awkward fathers.
What happens with an awkward father?
Well, I just mean that a girl's dad tends to be more protective of the girl than a guy's dad of the boy.
Oh, right. And what happens in these chats? I don't know, because I'm not a boy, so obviously I've never had an awkward dad having a chat with me, but how do they sort of...
Well, what was it like when your boyfriend met your parents for the first time? Were they nice to him?
Yeah, really nice. I don't think... Yeah. But you sound like you've had awkward dad chats.
No, I haven't, personally, but, you know, you watch Father of the Bride and all that, don't you? So... See what happens
right,
there.
So this isn't based on anything that's happened in your life at all. You're
just
basing it on Father of the Bride.
And
one
meet
or
the
two.
Meet the Parents.
Right.
There's another one. It's much worse for the dads of a girl, I'm telling you.
While I was there, a second series of a programme I loved was going to be on, and my boyfriend had told his parents how much I wanted to watch it. On the night in question, I grabbed some sweets and coffee and went to head upstairs to watch TV on their spare telly. His mum said not to be daft and to watch downstairs as they had no plans.
No.
I tried to get out of it, but they insisted.
Oh no, I don't even want to know what the programme was.
I'm not sure they knew what I was avidly following since the first series, but I had to spend an agonising hour and a half watching the opening episode of Queer as Folk.
Oh my God, that's one of the worst ones.
Is it?
Yes. One of the worst.
Worse than Time Team?
Much worse. Maybe even worse than The Tudors in some ways. It's
good.
It's full on.
Would you recommend it?
Yes, but it is full on. Not for parental viewing.
They sat in complete silence while it was on, and I was terrified to look at them or dare laugh out loud.
So what happens in this show then? I've never seen it.
Well, it's a drama. People.
Is it boys doing it?
Sometimes.
Girls?
Mostly boys. Yeah. I mean, there's a great storyline as well, but there is a lot of that. So, no.
I don't think they've ever forgotten it, but it has never been mentioned since. Since they're now my in-laws, perhaps it's time to offer them a loan of the box set. Kaz, off of Broadstairs.
Kaz, please don't do that. Just leave the experience and put it down to bad experience. And do not lend them the box set, please. Next!
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris and TOTDS. As we all know, Chris is trying to find a job and I've had the most amazing idea for him.
All ideas welcome.
I know he's a big fan of football, so I was thinking maybe he could apply to be a mascot for a football team.
Ooh, what does that involve?
It's amazing.
I immediately see pros and cons to this.
Which are?
Well, pros, it's to do with football, which is, I suppose that's a positive sign.
Think of all the football you get to watch.
Cons being, you got to dress up like a...
A bear or a tiger.
Oh, it's that.
Or...
He could mascot as Batman or the adult baby.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That is exactly what I was thinking.
Batman or AB?
I'm an adult baby!
Are there any football teams at the moment that have a mascot as an adult baby? I'd like to know.
Or Batman.
My name's Chris and I'm Batman.
Hope this helps. Rob, in North Wales.
It's really helped, Rob, and I know that football teams will now be flooding to us.
The adult baby would be so cute with the kids, like running around, big dummy in his mouth, like, just like, whoa, I'm the adult baby.
I go to the football a lot, and at Watford we've got Harry the Hornet.
Does he do half-time entertainment?
before the match, half time, the whole way through the game, he's got to be seen on the side of the pitch, sort of G'ing up the crowd. But the thing is, I also see the banter even Harry the Hornet gets. You can't turn up at a football stadium dressed up as an adult baby.
Why not? It's something for everyone.
I'm an adult baby!
It will all go wrong.
We should explain where this adult baby thing came from, really. We were making a phone call, weren't we, one day?
Yeah, we're winding up your flatmate.
And we were trying to keep him on the phone.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, to get his attention, Chris shouted, "I'm an adult baby."
I'm an adult baby!
Now, we don't know where that came from what area of his mind.
We don't need to, it's fine.
No, we don't.
You don't need to tell us.
But
you guys told me, at all costs, keep him on the phone. Say whatever you have to say.
So then you just blurted out, "I'm an adult baby," and it's just kind of stuck from there. We've made a song about it.
Mammary gland. Jeffrey Archer. Listen, I'm an adult baby. I'm an adult baby! I've got a phone and a dressing gown. Right. I'm an adult baby! Mammary gland. You will listen. I'm an adult baby!
Well, here's the thing. I mean, let's put it out there. If you do work for a football club, maybe you're an events manager or something at, I don't know, Manchester United.
No, he's good at European. What about Real Madrid?
Any of those?
What's adult baby in Spanish?
I don't know. Let's aim low, though, because Real Madrid's quite high. So, you know, any football club, if you're in need of a new mascot, I've got one.
No.
It's an adult baby. Think of the merchandise.
Sorry. I'm laughing so much. Can you imagine? If he gets to work for Real Madrid, it'd just be like him and Jose Mourinho, just like, yes.
With their arms around each other.
I'm an adult baby.
It's all right for you two. Some of these footballers and managers, they're some of my heroes.
I know, and don't get so angry. Don't throw your toys out the pram.
Very good. Very good.
I love it. It makes him so stressed.
Next.
OMLG. You make me laugh so much that I blitz need a black plastic spillage sheet like Becky during innuendo bingo.
Thank you very much for your kind comments.
I'm just at work at the Mo, currently doing a boring spreadsheet while secretly listening online. And heard your bit about parents and raunchy TV scenes and how you never want to hear your parents doing naughty speak.
No, you really don't.
My mother well and truly put me off my amazing gourmet burger last night by telling me all about how provocatively my Nana ate her chocolate eclair that day.
But the thing is, Nana or no Nana, doesn't matter who you are, is it possible to eat an eclair non-seductively? I think not.
No.
It's not.
You can't help it.
Even if it's an 85-year-old grandmother, you can't not do it.
Supposedly, she said, she hadn't had one that big in years.
OK, that was unnecessary, Nana. And I know you can't help the way you eat it, but, like, the after comment, wasn't necessary.
Oh, they laughed. I definitely didn't. Thank you for always brightening up my day. Love you. High five. Chloe, off of Altrincham.
Thank you, Chloe.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
James has been on saying that nans must eat eclairs with a knife and fork. That is the rule.
No, you can't have food bans on nans.
No, that's the only way you can stop them from eating them seductively, and no one wants to see that. Also, it turns out that being a mascot is quite dangerous. Bilbo from the now infamous Russ and Bilbo show has been on. He used to be a mascot for the local radio station. He did some work at Banbury United, where some of the fans attempted to throw him down some hard-looking concrete steps while dressed as a six-foot bumblebee. That's not good.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.